The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the minbar you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
This movement of Imam Hussein was led by a ma'soom. When it is led by a ma'soom, everything is going to be the way it's supposed to be. And it just shows the difference. Sometimes some of us might act like, you know, we know what we're doing. Okay, we try our best. But yeah, there will be mistakes that are made. We have to understand that. So that if someone's not going to necessarily agree with me the way I'm doing things, I don't say, oh, you're against Islam. Who are you to represent Islam? We're all fallible beings. Yeah? This one, though, had an imam leading it. That's why we see the rewards of it, the fruits of it. We see it till today. Or else there were so many movements. I skipped one of the movements that I listed last night. You have Abdullah bin Hanzala. You have the Tawabin. The Tawabin, like, it didn't work. I'm sorry. Yeah? You have all of these movements. Zayd bin Ali, Yahya bin Zayd, Hussein ibn Ali, Shahid of Fakh. All of these people, nothing in the end. No one remembers them. But with Imam Hussein, it was different. Although some of them were killed the exact same way Imam Hussein was killed. All right, so let's move on to the next one now. So far, what do we have? Let me see. We have Allah's will. We have ikhlas. We have the movement was led by an imam. We have the different elements that we have in this movement. We have haq. We have Lady Zainab and Imam Sajjad. It doesn't matter how great a job you do, how great a sacrifice you make. If that is not promoted properly and not explained properly, it'll just go down the drain. And so this is another part of Allah's plan. Think about it. Imam Hussein, no matter how hard, if he had tried, do you think he would have been able to make it to the heart of the enemy in Sham? Into the belly of the beast itself in Sham? No, they would have stopped him before coming. They stopped him before getting to Kufa, let alone Sham. And so what we get out of this is that apparently this is part of the plan for Imam Hussein to make his way as close as he can to become Shaheed, so that the enemy himself takes Zainab alayhi salam and Sajjad alayhi salam into Sham. So then they have that platform, they have that microphone, so to speak, to expose, to the point that Yazid, till yesterday, he's all gloating and he's all proud, and all of a sudden he's sending his la'nat on Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. And then he says, take these prisoners back, give them whatever they want, take them back, just get them out of here. And still they say when Bibi Zainab went back, she was causing trouble for the hukuma in those 2 years. That's one of the reasons some believe that one of the evidences they have for Bibi Zainab being buried in Sham is that she was sent in exile. Why? Because she wasn't keeping silent. Imam Sajjad is different. But Bibi Zainab did her thing. Just like Bibi Fatima, Imam Ali was not as loud as Bibi Fatima because they had different responsibilities in what happened after Saqifa. Same thing here. All right, so with Imam Sajjad, 34 years, he is not holding big majalis or anything, but every opportunity he gets, he will explain Karbala, he will explain Ashura, he will hold majlises to the extent he can, even if it means it's a one-person majlis kind of, where he brings up Imam Hussein in front of others. Anything he sees, food, drink, animals being slaughtered, he will bring up Imam Hussein. So that's another element. And says a lot to us, you know. Sometimes there's a lot of work that we're doing. We're not promoting it properly, not explaining it properly to people. It goes to waste. And then others will say, oh, Mawlana, you should do more. You should do more. No, it's not about doing more. It's about what? It's about reaching out, branching out, letting people know what's going on. Or else, if I double the amount of work I'm doing, but if I'm not getting it out there properly, what's that mean? That just means the drain is going to clog, but everything's going down the drain at the end of the day. You have to be smart and efficient about things as well. If I'm doing one thing, in this day and age where I have no choice but to have some voice on social media, I will blow it up as much as I can so that it reaches the people it's supposed to reach. Back then, they used the tools they had poetry and whatnot, Imam Sajjad uses every opportunity. That's what I'll do. Yes, which brings me to the last four. And these are the tools now that Allah, I think that Allah set there. I talked a little bit about last night, but I want to get into some of the hadith in this regard and some of the stories we have. What were the tools? Number one, majalis. Number two, tears. Number three, his turba even. The dust from his grave. And finally, his ziyara and his grave. I want to share with you some of the stories and some of the hadiths we have in this regard to show us that, yeah, when Allah gives it the magical touch, yes, that is different than whatever else is out there. The majalis, the importance of majalis. I have a few stories here that I've heard scholars in Iran, they speak about. There's tons of stories. And you see some of the posts that we have online as well in regards to some of these stories. Ayatollah Uzma Golpayegani. I'm trying to make a point with these stories here, okay? Because in all of these stories, you'll notice that it's not a big majlis. Although it's in the 21st century. It's not a big majlis though. What am I trying to get to here? I'm trying to make a point here of how important these majalis are, even if it's two people. Ayatollah Golpayegani, I haven't seen the video, but this scholar was saying that there's a video of it. Ayatollah Uzma Golpayegani. You know what that's like? That's like Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani of today. Huge. Like Ayatollah Sistani of today. Okay? It says that there's a video of him doing a majlis with his family. Why? Of course they want the thawab of it, but more importantly, they know that this is what's kept it alive. Imam Sajjad did it with few people. If I can only get a few people. I don't know what the circumstances were back then that he was doing it with his family, but it's like, in other words, it's not like he's not doing anything. Or another story. He says that Rasuli Mahallati, he's the person he's passed away. He says that he comes to Imam Khomeini. He tells Imam Khomeini, Imam Khomeini, there's somebody out there, they've made a nazr. Yes, you know that oath that you make or that vow you make with Allah that you're going to do something. Not the other nazr. Nazr. That they're going to have a majlis and you're going to be in it. Imam Khomeini's like, I didn't ask for it. Like, what is this, you know? So Imam Khomeini says, it's okay. No problem. Recite. He says, but there's no majlis. He says, no, I'm here. Recite. He says, I started reciting. Imam Khomeini began weeping. That's our majlis. I'm not going to wait for it to ever happen. Let's see if it happens, if we're able to facilitate it or not. Okay, a person has a nazar, they want to do this. This is a majlis. What does majlis literally mean when you sit down? We're sitting, we're hearing the Messiah of Imam Hussein. This one I like a lot. Sheikh Qara'ati, those of you who know him. He's famous, right? Sheikh Qara'ati, he says, years ago, 40 years ago or so, says, I was in Mozambique. I don't know what he's doing there, but he was there. He says, you know, we weren't able to get a flight back to Iran, all that. And so Ashura, turns out I'm going to be in Mozambique, of all places. 40 years ago. Now there might be Shia there, but 40 years ago, he says, there were no Shia there. So he says, I got stuck there. I asked on the night of Ashura if there are any majlises. They said there aren't any Shias here. But there's this one guy who has a little shop who sells halal food stuff. Yeah, this is like 30 years ago, guys. Like, this is how we lived the life here, the halal life in America. 30 years ago, there was no halal restaurants. Growing up in North Carolina, we had to drive all the way to Washington, D.C., Maryland to get our hands on some halal chicken. All this for halal meat. He says that they told me there's one Shia guy here who sells halal stuff. He has like a little shop, a little supermarket, whatever. He says, I went and asked him if there were any majlises in the city. He said, no. But from the beginning of Muharram every night, I recite for my family at home. How did Imam Hussein, the story of Imam Hussein survive? Because of these things. I recite for my family at home. Qara'ati, he says, I said, I'm going to come. And so I went and this brother would recite and his family would mourn. So during COVID, we got a taste of that, by the way. We had our little majlises at home. Yes. We had a lot, alhamdulillah, for the internet. Yes? And so we alhamdulillah, it wasn't like, it was a good experience, I would say. It might have strengthened us a lot more than we think when it comes to our resolve for Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. So that's another one. The fact that these majalis keep happening. And so you can't stress it enough, the importance of these majalis, the tears. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I've spoken about this before in length. the tears and how man baka wa abka wa tabaka, the one who cries, the one who makes others cry, the one who can't cry but at least acts like they're crying. All of these people, what blessings are awaiting them in the hadiths we have. There are too many for us to deny them, these hadiths.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.